Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man that needeth no introduction, the captain, Jack Berry. Jack,
yo,
how are you,
up?
Dude?
It's good. Good to see you.
We might need to rethink our recording time. Because it keeps getting pushed back. I feel like Sunday nights, you know, when we normally do it,
man,
it's been pretty steady. And then like, I feel like stuff happens, and we're just like, okay, let's push it. Like,
well,
life happens.
Yeah, life happens. The problem is too sometimes where you have a family member. So my brother-in-law had to go down to get a vehicle in Arizona and drive it back up from his brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law is pregnant. And she got the emotions going on there with her first trimester. And so we went over and brought her dinner and kept her company and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was a little bit rougher weekend.
So what you're saying is we blame the woman. Blame the woman is what you're saying.
That's what Josh said.
That's what I heard.
I didn't say
anything.
Very
Joel Webbin of you,
Josh. Oh my gosh. Don't blame the woman. Don't do it, Josh.
I don't wanna give any more airtime to that.
Oh man.
To that fool.
Yeah. That jack wagon of a person.
Jack wagon, dude. Yep. Oh my goodness gracious. All right. Well, then we'll keep it where it's at. It's been working pretty good. But today is going to be kind of a rip-roaring ep, an interesting ep, actually. Something a little bit more on the practical end, not to say that the Reformatory doesn't seek to be practical in our episodes, but this one I feel like is more tangible, more hands-on, more administrative, if you will. But it's actually something I've been thinking a lot about recently as it pertains to our own church.
Okay.
And I know you have a lot of experience with as well. But before we hop into today's topic, Jack, I would be remiss if I did not hand it over to you and have you bestow on us the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, new month, new stick. What do you got for us?
New month, new stick, new company. We had only a couple one-offs in November with Nat Seco, November for Nat Seco. December, I was really kind of like coming up with and trying to figure out a brand for December, right? I'm like, what kind of cigar brand begins with D that we haven't gone through that has good sticks?
Yeah.
And I found it.
Oh, I'm found so excited.
December is for Don Pepin Garcia, sir.
Dude, you going Don Pepin on me.
So, okay. Don Pepin. Right. Don Pepin Garcia. So Don is obviously, you know, the more, that's your boss. That's your jefe, right? Yeah. So
the Don.
Don Jose Pepin Garcia. He is the CEO of El Rey de los Habanos. So that's a cigar company that produces a lot of cigars, like my father's cigars.
Yep.
Very chief master blender in a lot of different cigar brands, like Tatuaje. Like I said, my father, La Aroma de Cuba, he does some blends on. Like, if you go even at cigaraficionado.com and just look up, just type in Don Pepin Garcia, you'll see his name in like top 25 cigars of the years all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
all knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. So we're going with his specific brand, which is kind of an offshoot of my father. So it's just his name. Don Pepin Garcia is the brand that we'll go off of. And we are going with a classic. So he likes Robustos a lot. Mm-hmm. He's known for his Robustos. So we are going with and starting off December with the Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic 1979 Robusto. So this is most of his cigars are straight up Nicaraguan Puros. So basically all the cigar is a Nicaraguan Puro. Most of the tobacco is from Esteli, Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. This cigar in particular, the Cuban Classic, was ranked top 25 cigars of the year in 2007. It was number 17. It has a consistent ranking on Cigar Aficionado of about 90 to 92. Like I said, Robusto, Nicaraguan Puro, has a lot of accolades. I will say I have had this cigar before in the past. It's really good. And I can attest to kind of the flavor profilings as well too, which are kind of more earthier, woodsy, leather, toasted almonds kind of usually. It's a medium to full body cigar. Josh, I gotta ask you like I always do. Sir, what is your MSRP on this Cuban Classic Robusto 1979?
So if I remember correctly from things that I have read.
Okay.
Don Pepin, like this particular one, his Robustos, they aren't break the bank sticks.
True.
Which is why I think he's so popular, because of the quality he puts out at the price point. So I'm going to give a range, and I'm going to throw it a little lower than I even think it should be. Lower than I would pay for a Don Pepin.
Okay.
I'm going to throw it at $7 to $10.
You are pretty much right in the range.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's like six to nine.
Okay,
somewhere
I'll take
in
it.
There,
I'll
six
take
to
it.
Nine. So I'll Josh is
I'm on the
Josh,
fringes of the win there.
Josh is like right in the sweet spot where you want to be at. So So we're starting off with December with Don Pepin Garcia as our brand of choice, and the cigar is the Cuban Classic 1979.
Love it.
Go check it out in the Robusto sizing. You will thank me later.
You will.
That's it.
You will. Absolutely. Well, Jack, as always, well done. Always exciting starting a new month with a new cigar brand. So I'm excited for this, because Don Pepin is not one that I have ventured into a whole lot.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm going to have to probably buy myself some so that I can.
There's some there at Sacred Smoke,
snuff.
Too. So
I think he does have some Don Pepins. Yeah. I think he does. Yeah, I might have to venture over there.
Yeah.
But Jack, thank you as always. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So today we are talking about security. Security, not salvific security, not eternal security, but church security, as in individuals, preferably armed to the teeth, looking over the safety of the congregants, and especially the little ones in the church. Now, kind of, again, off the beaten track of topics that Jack and I normally talk about, but still local church focused. And like I said at the front, something that I've been thinking through a lot. Multiple reasons for this ep. Want to hear from you, some ideas that you have had. Want to get out some of my own thoughts, as well as I want to throw it out to our listeners also. Tell us kind of your experience and your ideas when it comes to what a local church security should look like. Security team, those that how far do you go in terms of certain like restrictive measures, right? Especially, and I'll get into kind of why it's been on my mind, especially when it comes to the littles, right? Kids, because that's where, especially in our day and age, I'm seeing a growing need for some pretty hardcore security measures there so that you know you can trust the church with your kids. Because if you can't trust the church with your kids, then what are we even doing, right?
Yeah.
And sadly, we've seen examples after examples of that environment that should be one of trust.
Yeah.
Should be one of safety. Be the exact opposite of that.
And
you know, there's instances of abuse, instances of people being taken advantage of. And we see it a lot. And it's sad. And it's a reminder that the church is not immune to the sin of the world, to the sin of the culture. That the church is not somehow just completely and totally a separate space where that stuff cannot infiltrate. Sin gets into the church, right? Evil gets into the church, and that can often manifest itself in you know, individuals being placed in positions that they shouldn't be, that are seeking those positions in order to do harm. Right. And sometimes it looks like we see in the news some very drastic, almost one off things where someone will come into the church with the intent of causing harm to people. Right. And they do so usually by shooting the church up or, you know, one form of violence or another. And these things, I believe, are just going to become more prevalent, honestly, as the culture moves away from the word of God and the church, the true church, stands on the truths of the gospel and becomes increasingly more and more unpopular, right? Now, I'm not the type of guy that's saying, you know, it's time to go to the catacombs, board your windows up because because the world's against us and we need to, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the issues that the church is currently facing or going to face. I'm not a glutton for punishment, you know, or persecution, right? But I am a realist in that I know that it happens. And I think churches should have a good idea, a good understanding, a good plan put in place for when these type of instances pop up, because I think they will, and they will continue to, because we live in a fallen world, right? So that's kind of the premise of what I wanted to talk about today. Like I said, I've got some thoughts. I want to hear our listeners' thoughts, but Jack, I want to throw it over to you, because I know this is something that you kind of worked quite in tandem with at in your past experiences in serving the church.
Still do.
Still do. Because you're one of your roles at your current church is in security, isn't it?
So I lead. I lead every month. I'm the team lead for security for the main Lord's Day service on Sunday.
So
what that means is usually a couple guys and myself. So we meet at a private, or we don't meet at a private school. We meet at a public school, and we basically. Thankfully, a lot of stuff is already taken cared for us a lot of different ways. We just need like the janitor, or the custodian to kind of walk us through different things. We go over security involves everything from, you know, we've had kids pass out during service sometimes. Thankfully, we also have like a, since we're closer to the Army base here in kind of Tacoma area, we have a lot of guys who are trained in EMS who can kind of look after kids. And then we've had to call 911 a couple times because some people passed out. That was during the summer though. So we've had stuff along those lines. We haven't had anybody when I was working. That's kind of my current experience. My experience before that, too, I was leading security teams for our location when we were Mars Hill. And then when we switched over to an independent church as well, too, like in a downtown urban environment. That's like right next to a hospital.
I remember.
I've seen some crazy. I have seen some crazy folks. I have seen drugged up. I've seen naked. I've seen everything.
He's seen drugged up and naked.
Yep, pretty much. Man, it is. That was pretty wild. I remember a guy on my security team had to choke a guy out, or at least put him in a chokehold at one point. Yeah. Until the cops came. So now that's not as bad, because now we're in a public school, but we're more out of the city a little bit. It kind of is pseudo urban. But it's not that bad. I mean, yeah, you're basically in more of like a suburban area. But we've so I've done security a lot. And what you talk about, Josh, is true. I mean, I think the biggest thing that rings out in my head when we talk about security is child molestation, pedophilia, people who and churches who let deacons or pastors slide when it comes to sexual abuse. We're seeing a lot happen in the SBC with that. The SBC has not, I think, standardized really good security practices. That's why they're having so many issues.
Sure.
I mean, everything I remember, I remember churches here. I've always had to do a background check whenever I've had to go on security.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be your number one priority.
Yep.
I think
anyone that's on staff, it's my opinion.
Yeah.
Again, as Jack, I would say, is much more of an authority on this than I am. As I have thoughts, I'll interject them. Sure. Anyone that's on staff, anyone that is serving in any type of capacity in the local church, especially with children, automatic background check.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. It's not a personal thing. It's just policy. It's what we do. There shouldn't be an excuse, right? I completely agree.
Yeah. So we do background checks. We also have more along the lines of certain barriers that men can't serve in different areas. So I think the last couple of churches I've been at, men cannot serve in like nursery or or pre-K. They can teach. We do have men who teach, I think, K through second grade, and then our third through fifth grade classes in the kids area. So that's another thing too. And then, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with who's, what I don't understand, to be quite honest, in some of these cases in the SBC, is if you're a local church and if you've done a background check and if you've done your due diligence to provide a safe environment for kids and families, like, how are you letting like pastors or deacons or people in eldership or leadership let them slide into a sinful pattern? And I think a lot of that has to do with not putting up barriers or having positions or having men or women in positions of power where they abuse that power. And so,
then what happens is that power ends up being abused. And then in a lot of cases it's covered up. It's not dealt with. Right. Yeah. It's not dealt with immediately. It's dealt with. And this is something you might be getting this, but this is something that I is a pet peeve of mine. It's not even a pet peeve. That's too light. It's egregious. It's egregious. Yeah. When you try to deal with legal matters as a church, when you try to deal with them in house.
Yeah.
Dude, absolute no. Don't even. That to me, I can't fathom how you could have a situation where something illegal happened, right? Like, again, let's take, unfortunately, a common one. It's horrible, right? There's some abuse to some kids, right? In your children's ministry, if your church has it. If your immediate step is not to call the authorities, and you try to deal with it primarily in house, you are setting yourself up for so much failure as a church, right?
Yeah.
Again, not to say that there's not aspects of those that are dealt with in house, the care and the counseling, right? The care for the families, the care. There's a lot that is dealt that you should be dealing with as a church to come alongside that family. But if something illegal is happening, step one, cops, bro.
Yeah.
Call the cop. Get that man or that woman in cuffs.
Yeah.
Get them out of the building and never let them back in.
Like, in the most like least terms of approach and of interpretation of Romans 13, the government is there to carry out the sword.
Yeah.
The sword of judgment, right?
Yeah.
So let them do that.
Yeah.
Like, let God do what he does and call the cops, you mm-hmm. know, and let God work through the civil magistrate in that way, because mm-hmm. there is laws that have been broken, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think one thing, too, is like when you're on security, like you're primarily not there to like act tough and look tough. Like you're there to like. I always tell this to guys, like, you're not there to be like a tip, like a bouncer at a club or anything right. like that. Like,
right.
usually when I'm on security, like, I already know all these families in my local church.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If there's people that are not, that are either visiting that Sunday or I don't know them, I'll mm-hmm. have a conversation with them or I'll yeah. interact with them a little bit more.
Yeah.
So usually how this happens is myself as team lead, I will rotate a couple guys and myself in different positions. Like we'll kind of walk around the parking lot in the school that we meet at just to mm-hmm. count cars and make sure that nothing is happening out there. Cause it is a public area.
Yeah.
Like, there are sure. people, like there is a track and a certain walkway and a pedestrian bridge that goes across a highway, mm-hmm. like near the school that we meet at. So there's still people walking their dogs or something's happening. So it's a public area.
Yeah.
So you need to have some sort of a presence there, but also there's like, we have like two buildings that we're primarily meeting in. So mm-hmm. the auditorium is where our Lord's Day service is happening. And then the gymnasium, which is a separate building, but it's connected by this little walkway, covered walkway area. Yeah. That's where most of the kids ministry is at mm-hmm. and sectioned out. So you usually have security there. We print out the kids ministry prints out badges. So check kids in through apps and technology that way. And you're given a code. And honestly, like that is not that difficult unless it were a situation in which you knew that there was a custody issue going on within your church.
Yeah.
For the kids, which has only happened once, but there hasn't been issues with that.
That's where you have authorized sign in, sign out individuals, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when I was a children's director at our church, something that we did is I had a list of people that were authorized to check kids out, mm-hmm. right? And if you're not on that list, you don't get to check the kids out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The kids get checked in, and until I see that somebody on this approved list, usually just mom or dad, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sometimes maybe a grandparent. I'm not letting the kids out. That's just not how it's going to be. Like I have the numbers. I will call and figure out what needs to happen. But that kind of stuff, like it's kind of a no brainer. Like you said, it's not that hard to do. And I think some yeah. churches just either maybe don't realize how easy it is just to have a basic check-in, check-out system for your kids. Or it's just not something that they really think about putting into practice, but it's kind of a must in my opinion, especially yeah. when you're dealing with kids.
Yeah. So there's that element to it, which is protecting the kids. And then the other part of it too, is just the congregation, like what's going on during the service,
yep.
what's happening as far as your entryways of point where people are coming in and out of. I think there's a level of suspicion that you can have from Sunday to Sunday. Honestly, I don't have it a whole lot, primarily because if there's visitors involved, usually they're friends of members mm-hmm. or they're connected to some sort of member within our local church somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And then on top of it too, I think at that point, since you're on a public property, mm-hmm. there's a whole bunch of other laws that get involved, right? So like, you know, you have gun laws, weapon laws, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Usually, honestly, people, like the only thing that I carry on me as far as a weapon goes is a knife, and that's about it. Like, if I'm going to take a guy out, like, we're going old school. I'm spearing this guy through the front door, and I'm just beating the crap out of him, dude. That's all it is. I'm just letting fight or flight mode take in.
I am too lazy for that. 45 Kimber on my hip, my friend. I'll put one in your head, two in your chest.
You're on a nonprofit. You're on a nonprofit property, Josh. You can do that.
It's secret. I have to deal out with everyone's legalities. Everyone's packing up here.
We have a lot of firefighters for some reason. We don't have any cops.
When it comes to matters of self-defense, whether it's in my church or in my home, I take the Mel Gibson from The Patriot approach. Better ask forgiveness and permission. position. Be like, I don't know. I you know, he was going to kill my people, so I killed him first.
Yeah,
we that sounds very John Piper would hate this conversation right now.
Yeah, we have never. I've had
to Lord deal willing with, it will never get to that point. Let's be clear, tongue in cheek.
I have never had to deal with any legitimate threats. I've had to deal with people who are nuisances.
Yeah, yeah.
Who've said things that are just crazy. Like I've had to deal with a lot of like mental health issues.
Can I share a story with you, dude? Okay. This is more accurate to the type of, I think, events or situations that you'll have to deal with in the PNW, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you an example.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I wanna know what would Jack have done in this situation, dude? It was in an old church that I was at, and this guy came in and obviously had some like mental stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
Pretty disheveled, acting pretty radically, right? Wasn't causing much of a scene though. Like wasn't loud or boisterous or anything. So it's like, okay, all right, whatever. You know, he goes in the, sits in the back pew and like, I'm looking at him and like, I keep seeing him like bend over and then like, he'll like come back up and then like look around for a little bit. And then he like bends over again and then comes back up.
Oh my gosh.
And I walk over, dude. And my man had one of our hymnals on his lap, in which, or I should say, on which.
Oh no.
He was going full Scarface.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And snorting lines of cocaine off of our hymnal. Off of the sacred Trinity hymnal, my friend, he was using as a surface.
Okay.
As a delivery system.
Full blasphemy mode, dude.
To make lines of snow, to which he's just sitting there bending over, plugging a nostril and going to town. And then he gets up and is like, all right, so what does Jack do in that situation?
Yeah, at that point I'm calling the cops, but then I'm also escorting him out of the building at that point. Like, sir, get your stuff.
Welcome to Washington, people. Let's go. This is the stuff Jack and I deal with out here.
I mean, I've seen a ton of, like, especially if you're in an urban church in a bigger city in Washington, you see a lot of needles because people will hang around your building, sleep near certain areas. If there's any awnings or any areas that they can get out of the rain, there's times where I've gone up to a church building that I've been a member of and I've had to shoo homeless people away.
Yeah.
I've had a dude, probably craziest situation. I've had a dude take a dookie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I turned my back.
Yes.
Went inside the building, came back.
Pop a squat.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh dookie right in a causeway area of a church that I was a member at, dude.
Just
the craziest stuff.
It's I was pastoring in Everett. I literally had a homeless person start a fire in our yard. Dude. Like a campfire. Like I don't know what they were gonna do. It was in the middle of summer. It's just I just look out there and all I see all of a sudden I just see smoke. I'm like, what is going on? They made themselves a little campfire. But it's stuff like that. It's stuff like that. But at the end of the day, have a system in place.
Yep.
Have procedures in place. Don't wait for something to happen in order to put in a procedure. Right?
Yeah, I would
I think that's the main takeaway that I hope people get from this app is don't wait for the procedure to be necessary in order to start thinking about this if you haven't already.
Yeah, and some stuff too, like the situations of like active shooter and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't get into the minutiae of that. It's really just either fight, flight, or take cover at that point, which a lot of active shooter scenarios are in that. We haven't had too much of those, although you never know. It can happen. I'm not saying it can't, but there's situations now where I think it's more prevalent that it might happen, just depending upon the societal kind of situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's perhaps the most, maybe not the most, perhaps one of the most extreme examples of things that could happen on a Lord's Day service. Mm-hmm. But it's still good to have a plan and to know, like, You know, like I know some churches that have guys that might not be strictly security, but that have been vetted by security as guys that they know. You know, these are concealed carry guys.
Yeah,
and they intentionally sit strategically in different places of the auditorium, just so that all areas are covered. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a smart thing. I think that's smart. Like I know that there's people in my church that conceal carry. I conceal carry, and you'll never know until I pull it out to use it. Right. Like that's just kind of the idea of it. Right. So it's something that, I think it's a good plan to have in place. Lord willing, you'll never have to use it. You know, Lord willing, the procedures that you put in place will never have to be enforced.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're never going to have to, you know, go back to your procedures and be like, okay, did we follow them? Did we follow them? Right. Because, you know, you don't want stuff like that to happen, but better to have the procedures in place for your kids to be safe, for your congregants to be safe, than for you to have, you know, an oh crap moment and realize like, oh, we majorly screwed up.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that will torch a church faster than something legal happening that you're found at fault as a church. Oh man. Yeah. It's bad news. Yeah. Bad news. Not worth it.
Yeah. Another thing too, is just, if you're interested, if you don't have like a security team at your local church or any, or if you're interested about it, really, it's just, I mean, we have a deacon that's kind of over, that was kind of like over our ushers team when we were in our actual building doing Lord's Day services.
Yeah.
Since we outgrew that, that deacon overtook and took over kind of like the security team that kind of got ushered in as we came into this new school as we're meeting there on Lord's Day on Sunday. So it's really just, and it's not that difficult. Like you don't have to be, you know, Olympic trained athlete to be security.
Right.
I always tell guys that in the Army to be like a Cav Scout, you don't need to like bench press 300 pounds. You just need a radio and your mouth and your eyes and looking around. And that's about it. As long as you're calling out stuff and you have a radio system with other guys on the line that you're working with, like they'll be able to team up and figure out stuff. It doesn't need to be complicated. You don't need to go through like procedural practices, like in-depth stuff. It's really just, do you see anything out of place or do you see somebody that's kind of weird or out of place, and collaborate with a deacon who's leading your team or a leader who's leading your team and other guys, and then talk about it and then do everything in pairs. Yep. Like if you're going to approach somebody in a pair, don't do it alone. So a lot of practicality.
It's very practical. When you're
doing church security stuff, but it is important. We do want people safe at our Lord's Day services. And especially to like kids and families, as we see that as a growing kind of concern as well too in the local church. But that's about it. That's all
good
she
stuff
wrote.
Dude, yeah. So. Yeah, definitely a lot more that could be talked, but that's where you as listeners, if you guys have any ideas or things that maybe your church does that you really appreciate, or that you think is really practical and a good thing to do, let us know. Send us some DMs. Don't go to Facebook because my account got hacked.
Oh, gosh.
And I lost access to Reformatory Facebook. But we're still on Twitter and Instagram, and we have an email, so you can hit us up on all those. But Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah, you can, if you appreciate what we do here at the Reformatory, getting really practical on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Really practical. Sometimes we do that from time to time. You can send us a direct message or a question about an episode or an episode idea in our DMs on the Sociables. Yes, the Facebook, the metaverse, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, and the always interesting Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod across those Sociable platforms. Josh, you can tell how the lovely people may support us and interact with us on other ways. for endeavors that we
That's
have.
Right. we've got YouTube. Head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this podcast as well as listen to it. Reformatory Podcast on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We would appreciate that. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. Helps get the podcast out to more people. We would really appreciate that as well. We have merch, shirts. If you click on the link in the description of this episode, we sell through Amazon. We've got some really, really cool shirts right now. We've got some awesome Reformed 1689 shirts. We have a Christmas shirt right now. It's the Spurgeon Christmas Cutie shirt. It's dope. It's awesome, dude. You got to get your Christmas shirt. Get the Reformatory Christmas shirt. Prices are low. It's Amazon quality, so it's good stuff. We would really appreciate that. Last but not least, head on over to Patreon. We have Patreon for a $5 holla, a fiver. Mm-hmm. That's it. A fiver a month. You get bonus eps. You get this ep early. You get access to the Reformatory chat and all that stuff. It's a good time over there. If you choose to do that, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.